administrators in this room. I thank God that when I was baptized, you see the difference between going from black to white. You see the darkness that you're literally sitting in the shadow of death. And when you see Christ in his light, you see the huge contrast between him. And the sins that you're living in the world, just like a fish is in water, doesn't know that the fish is in water. People will live this life from day to day and just be satisfied with what they have in the world without thinking about what happens beyond this world. Because we all know that one thing is certain, is that one day we all die, and then do we have the chance to avoid the second death, be part of the first resurrection, be with our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's beyond this world is something that a lot of people, including myself, try to put on the back burner, just not think about, because the fear of death or what goes beyond is a terrifying thing. We're not sure what happens beyond the world, beyond this earth. And in this world, I think you have two choices, two paths in taking life. There's one which you can try to hear the knocking of God on your heart, try to hear that God is someone who is there for you, gave his only begotten Son, saved you through his life, through his plan, through his blood, bring you to the everlasting life. And you can try to hear his word, or you can try to ignore the knocking of God on your heart and live in the day-to-day. God created in each of us a hole in your heart. So like in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says that God put eternity in our heart to try to find him and try to know him. So in everyone in the world, atheists, people who are not Christian, and anyone, there's a yearning to see, like, to find the missing part in our heart. There's a hole in our heart because our hearts are broken since the fall of Adam and Eve. So they're looking for a God who will come and fill that heart, the hole. And then this world, people fill that hole with other things like TV, eating donuts, drinking, things like that, just to satisfy their time. So avoid an issue that's really present, that what are we doing in this world, what's beyond this world. So here, with that said, this is my short story of how I found the church and how God moved in my life. So I grew up in Texas, South Texas, by Mexico. And in high school, I always believed that God existed and that he had a plan for me. But I never really knew him or his love for me. Like, he was someone that I heard about but hadn't really experienced. In high school, like, I worked hard and tried to do well in school, tried to get through grades. And I would ask God for occasional help on some exam or specific thing. But I didn't rely on him. And in high school, what started moving me towards faith, moving to try to know him, was that my best friend in high school was Mormon. And he told me about the church, about the Mormon faith, how they're different from everyone else, and how, you know, sometimes persecutors, people don't agree with them, they're like outcasts. So I started going with my friends to learn more about the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And then some of the things at that time in high school would stop me with two things. At the time, my dad showed me a book that he received years ago called The Kingdom of Coates. And it talks about certain religions or denominations of Christianity that proclaim to be real religions, but there are coats in the use of your time, your money, and the dogma. So he prevented me, he tried to stop me from, like, looking more into Mormonism. And thank God that would have been the wrong approach. And also at that time, nothing was pushing me. I was about to get into college, and nothing was pushing me to, like, really look into it. So it was part laziness. I told God, after I get in college, when I get some free time, I'll try to look into you. So college came, I accepted senior year or two. At the same time, my friend went to his two-year mission trip. They do this two-year mission trip where they go to the country to evangelize. So he left at the same time I went to college, and I got accepted at Cornell. And my first 2 years especially difficult. I struggled especially, like, in my classes in chemical engineering. And I prayed to God that he would help me. That he would help me in some of my struggles that I was at. But that first year, for me, that first year I was taking a specific class, and I did, like, very poorly in that class, and I had to withdraw. And for me, that was a big thing for me, because I wanted to do well and do things, and, like, you know, like a parent, Asian parents want the parents to be like doctors or engineers and whatnot. But for me, that was a big thing. And then, so I decided that summer to take, after my freshman year, to take, to work that summer at Cornell at this casting cupping job and just to get away and find myself, I guess. My parents agreed that it was a good time to like work on work life, like school balance and trying to get work experience. So I tried that entire summer. I was determined that everything I could do myself, that I could do, like put everything in time and effort, and then that would be your success. So I went through the entire, like my next semester, I went through the entire class before, third math class, I did all the homework, all the lessons beforehand, the entire summer beforehand. So that next sophomore year, what happened, that freshman year wouldn't repeat. So I would be able to, like, the struggles and just like trying to do well in classes and just trying to pass them. So when the sophomore year came, it was easier, but still, there was something that was missing in my heart. And I had my friends, and I had my family, but I was still looking for something. Something was pulling me, and I wanted something more in this world. And at the time, and when I was specializing my major in chemical engineering, some of my friends I started getting close to with were a lot of international friends from Muslims. So I saw how they were different from everyone else, and how like they were unmovable, like whatever the world wants to do, they do their own thing, they keep their own positions, they keep their own without being like compromising with other people. So I had my good friends to meet, and eventually that summer after sophomore year, we were doing undergrad research both during the summer. And I lived with them, and I saw how during like the late nights, he would wake up 3 a.m., 4 a.m. to do his prayers, things like that. His devotion to God, his devotion to the Lord, to God. And I saw how like, he was different. So it made me think, what about Islam? What is this the thing that, because you know, I knew that there's all the denominations of Christianity, and that maybe people try to convince me that maybe that the reason that there's so many denominations of Christianity because the word, God's word, has been corrupted over time, and that Islam is the true return of the word of corruption. So junior year came, and I was trying to get in my career an internship at an engineering company, and at the same time I was still falling into certain sins that I now know now were like hurting me and pulling me away from God. So I got accepted to Johnson & Johnson and I chose Johnson & Johnson and ended up in New Jersey, in New Brunswick. So I was living in the Rutgers campus on Hodgetown Easton, Hodgetown campus of Rutgers. I was living there and I was working at Johnson & Johnson. And there, in the summer, things were changing. Like I was making money, I was living in the real world, I was doing well, things were looking better. And I was just doing this thing. And that summer I started looking into, I went to some bars for the first time, and I saw how, like you see how empty the world is, when you see the filth and the disgust of the world and the darkness, because like you see that how people have some people have little self-worth, and it's all, like all materialistic, and what you see in the world is fun. Like love everyone is trying to seek love from God, and that's what they're missing. But they try to replace that with something that's empty calories, with something that's not true. They find it, if I meet this person, he says some nice words to me, or she says some nice words, then that's what love is. Like a food season that comes left and right, like in the media, which is not what it is. What real love is that God fought for us, that he gave his sacrifice for us. And I think everyone, he loves himself and gave himself for us. And that, I think, is what everyone is searching for inside, that deep down inside, no matter who you are, you're searching for something that's greater beyond this world, a love that lasts forever, always and forever, someone that will always be there for you unconditionally, gave his sacrifice for you, regardless of how spotted you are or you are in the world. So, when junior year, after that, I had the senior year of Cornell, and things were good, and I was trying to apply to a full-time job in engineering, and I still was praying to God that with time, I'll look into more as soon as I get more time. As soon as I do, I think you're bringing something up, like my friend was Muslim and things to search for, but I didn't have that push yet. God just pushed you in your life to move you. So when senior year came, I was about to go to an interview with DuPont, and I was sitting in the computer lab doing my homework, and I started feeling a pain in my left side, so like an itching pain. At first I thought it was nothing, maybe it was something I ate. So I went to the bathroom, and then I went back, and I just then it started getting worse. The itching started like pulling at the left side of my body. So, and then my breathing started getting a little worse. So I called the Cornell EMS people, and they sent their people, and they gave me oxygen. So after that, they gave me the choice that if I do feel better, then it's your choice not to go to the hospital. But if not, you should probably go to the hospital. So I told them I feel a little better. I've been healthy my entire life. I never had any kind of health condition. So I said, I signed a waiver that, oh, I'm not going to the hospital. So I went back, and the thing got like really worse, and it started hurting my left side, and my breathing got worse. It was hard to breathe, my breathing was hard. So I called my friend, and he drove me to the hospital in Syracuse, and then they did EKG. At the time, I was terrified. I thought, because it was my left side, I thought it was my heart. Because your heart is on the left side. So I was like, please, Lord, please let that be any health problem for me. I promise this time, as long as you let me be okay, just let me live, let's not be any serious, and I promise I was open to you. This time, with no more excuses. So that's what I prayed. I was sent to the hospital. They did an EKG. It wasn't my heart. Thank God. They did an X-ray. They found that my left lung has collapsed 75% inside a pneumothorax, which when you have a soft spot in your lung from birth, and then due to a trauma or spontaneously it breaks, and air comes from out of your lungs into the pleural chest cavity and it pressures the lungs. So in rare cases, sometimes it can push on your heart to be fatal. So that fear of not going after that incident, when I was in the hospital, a lot of my close friends, a lot of my friends who visited me were some of my Muslim friends, and I saw how kind they were, how the loving kindness, and how they're different from a lot of people. And then when I got out of the hospital, I was there for about, they put a little, without going too much detail, they put a little tube in the side, tried to suck out the air, which didn't work, a little syringe thing. That didn't work, they cut a hole, I guess, in the side of my left lung, attached it to a big tube, to like an electric vacuum motor that sucked out the fluid. There was like fluid and water and air that they sucked out. And it took a while, it took a week for them to finally get all the fluid out to replace my lung. So that experience terrified me because I knew two things, that first, that God saved me. I believe that He did save me that time, and that I had that the fear of God, not knowing what's happening after this world, terrified me. Because I know my own personality and I know myself. And the very thought of not existing, going away, not knowing where you go, terrified me. And that fear, like when He drove me to try to find what is beyond this world. And the second thing is that with that fear, I said that now immediately I'm going to start looking into these. I forgot to mention that when I was an intern at Johnson & Johnson, I met a friend who was Coptic, and they told me about the Coptic Orthodox Church. So at this point, I decided to look into both of them, Islam and Orthodox Christianity, at the same time. At first, when I heard the word Coptic, I thought maybe it was like a cult. That was funny, never heard of it. So I said I would look at them both at the same time without telling one or the other that I was looking into the other. And the third thing that I made me realize after my accident was that I had to trust in God, because even though I was out for a week, it was tough to do. My senior year was the hardest year academically, my senior design course, and just to get back on track. You could do everything, try to do it the right way, study hard, and do everything right, but one little health problem, one little car accident, and just throw you, could end it all. In a split second, in a moment of time, your entire life could be changed. And that makes you trust in God, and be thankful for Him that each day you're still alive, and that you have health, you have good things. So I wanted to trust in God, and I knew that before, I always believed that things happen for a reason. So I believed that He was trying to move something into my life. So I trusted in Him that, because I had the nervousness that you could live 1,000 years and try to experience and learn about every single religion, but you would never have, you can't live 1,000 lifetimes. So you have to trust that God has a specific plan for you, and that he wants to, He put certain things in your life that His plan is to use the right way. So I trusted that I was looking to both, and that guides me according to your will, which is the right path. So with that, I looked into Islam first, and the first surah was okay with the Genesis similar to the Bible. But then when you get to the later verses or chapters, you see all the Bible verses come out. And you see like how you cut off the Jew's head, cut things off, all those Bible books of only. So I put that away. And because my friend gave me an English version of the Quran, and so I put that away, that was garbage. So then I started looking into Orthodox Christianity and like Orthodox Wikipedia and various sites, and I learned about some of the differences between Catholicism. I did some about Protestantism and Catholicism. Because I was a non-denominational, I guess, Protestant before. So I learned about some of the differences between the understanding of the Orthodox sacrament, how the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, how it's different from Catholicism, how in Protestantism they don't have any priests, they just have pastors, and how that it really moved me. So when I decided to start reading the Bible again that winter break when I got out of the hospital. And during that semester I started going to COS again. And when I read the Bible this time around, which I had read when I was younger, but it was very boring when I was younger, 10, 9, 8 years old. This time it really spoke to me. And I quickly read through the first five books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Old Testament. So I quickly saw how God planned, how the fall of Adam and Eve, how God was how God would raise the prophet that there would be the coming of the Lord. But then I started getting confused about some of all the deaths. Like all the people died left and right in the Old Testament. So some of my friends from COS had to read the New Testament first and just read back into the Old Testament. So I started reading the New Testament again, and I loved it. I loved when you saw the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifices, given how he did no wrong, the people hit him on the face, and for his love that he came down from heaven just to save us, who just rejected him, spat in his face. That moved me, and I fell in love with our Lord, and I fell in love with the gospel. By this time, that was around winter break, that was January. That was the second semester of senior year. I kept going, reading the Bible, and going to school. I learned more about the Agveya, Tetzeha. I loved the way like the Psalms are arranged in the Book of Hours, Agveya. And I was moved towards the character of the Lord just moved my heart, because the darkness that was there before, and you see, you're sitting like literally in the shadow of death, you see his light. So then, that year ended, and I was a senior, I was trying to get a full-time job, and maybe pharmaceuticals, or maybe DuPont, but that didn't go through, because I had 7, 8, 9 interviews, and none of them came through. I couldn't get a full-time job. The only thing that did come through was I didn't want to be back in New Jersey because I was living without a car and people like drinking and things like that I was trying to pull away from. Like people like try to take you to like car and things like that I was trying to pull away from. So I didn't have a bad feeling that I would end up in New Jersey again in that same building where I was in Rutgers at 11th floor, 10th floor. I was like, okay, please, I don't want to be there. The only thing that came through was I got an internship at L'Oreal, which happened to be in the same building, the floor above it, and New Jersey, New Brunswick again. So I decided to take this as an opportunity to visit the churches, because after I wanted to learn more about the core of Orthodoxy. And then when summer came by, I started my internship at L'Oreal. And the first time, my friend Andrew from Cornell drove me to St. Mary's to meet the liturgy at St. Mary's. So I attended that liturgy the first time, and it was foreign in many aspects. It was Coptic, it was Arabic, it was supposed to be like more English liturgy. I could read how the body focused a lot on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that was in the narrative and the way it's structured, and I liked it. So I kept going, and the next time I went to that liturgy, I met a friend named Mark Foster from East Brunswick, and he drove me around to youth because I didn't have a car, and I asked him if he could take me, like youth, into church liturgy. And the next time I went to youth at East Brunswick, and there I met like some of my friends now, Peter, Mike, Mina, various other people, and who offered to take me and drive me to church and liturgy. And we would go to Dunkin' Donuts, Chipotle, and they would take me, we would have Bible studies. And they were able to answer a lot of questions I had the gospel. But at that point, I was somewhere in the book of John. And I had some questions initially about like, oh, why did Christ say I came to bring a sword, not speak? The brother will be against his mother, son-in-law, and things like that. They were able to answer a lot of those questions for me. My friend actually gave me an Orthodox study Bible, so I was able to see, I got introduced to the church father, that has a nice quote, notes on the bottom explained from the verses that most people would have questions about. Because the church fathers, every single question that you would ever ask, that you'd ever think about, the church fathers have answered. So that gave me to look into like some of the church fathers, like St. Basil, St. Ignatius, and what their commentaries on some parts of the Bible that I was confused about. So at the end of the summer, I felt I knew it was the right thing for me, and God was pulling me this way. And I was kind of trusting Him. Because near the end of summer, I wasn't sure where I was going to go. Because if I did, my friend Peter might teach me church hopping. Because I wanted to find a priest that could help guide me and be my spiritual guide. And it was more Englishly, and I could connect with. So first, they took me to Manto, and I met with John and Antonio. And they were very kind to me, and I was almost about to ask Luna John to be my spiritual father, but I held off on that. The next day, the next Sunday, they took me to Holmdel, St. Mina. There I met Luna Hayes, and I don't know, something is connected with me and him. When I first saw him, I don't remember, but my friend has said that, he said, hold on, I just have a few confessions, I'll be right with you. And after that, he said that, I said, oh, I think I like him. So he sat with me in the office for like three hours explaining all the questions I had about the divinity of Christ. He did the Venn diagram, how Christ is one divinity, one humanity, how it's different from the Eastern Orthodox faith, how they think that it's like, they think how it's like the divinity is temporary, it's connected only for a moment. It's all understanding that it's two nations from one, that one complete without like one divinity, one humanity. And he explained to me like how Christ came out of time, all the explanations that really helped me, the things some of my friends weren't able to answer. Abuna gave me those answers, and he helped explain to me like the plan that God had throughout the gospel and the Bible. So at the end of summer, I decided I was ready to get baptized, and Abuna like went through some things in the Orthodox Church and the sacraments. And then at the end of summer, I was ready to get baptized. And the Buddha, on August 11, 2011, Buddha A baptized me in the church. My baptismal name was Paul. And then that day, the happiest day of my life. If I may, just some pictures from my baptism. So this moment is just the happiest day of my life because God has come to me from people who are sitting in darkness who don't know they are. God has pulled me out and told me how beautiful He is. And with that, after my internship, I decided to do my master's degree at Cornell, and I went through. I eventually got a full-time job in December. I heard from L'Oreal I got a full-time job here, so thank God I would end up back in New Jersey. That winter break of my master's year, I still have some questions about. Okay, after I came back to Texas, after I was baptized, I returned to Texas first, before I went back to my master's year. And there, I knew that God had moved me in life, but still, I was still hesitant with. Sometimes people would ask me, oh, what church did you go to? I go to Orthodox Church. And so that wasn't like solid in my heart. But then God confirmed me, because I saw a sign that I never asked God to be anything that I could never explain, a sign beyond the world. But somehow God gave it to me. When I was in Texas, I was sitting at home and two weird things happened to me. The first I can explain, the second I can't. The first, I was like on emails, on my computer, on my laptop. And suddenly it started playing about Surreal CD, Light of the World, from Australia, talking about how he admires so much like the Mormons, how they go two by two and they preach the gospel, and that the Orthodox Church is very lacking in sending people out to spread the word. That started playing like automatically, so I thought, like, how does this happen? But then I realized that the CD thing was out on the computer, but I was having to actually push it in. So it's okay, I actually push the CD thing in and start playing. But then I started listening to him, and right when I'm about to talk about 3 hours talking about be a light in the world. I saw a huge light flash into my face, and it like terrified me, and I almost jumped out of my chair, because it was mid-afternoon, a bright day, it was summer outside in Texas, and that really scared me. I thought it was something like, I couldn't explain. So I got very scared, and I ran to my bedroom, and I put my head under my pillow for a long time. So I got very scared, and I wanted to leave the room. And I went back to the room, and I went to my laptop, and I tried to get it to shoot out some light, like sky or something. I couldn't get it to do it. And I looked outside, and there was nobody around. So I figured that must have been God, must have been assigned to me. That I like, it was something that I was always, like, because I had a science background, I was always able to explain, like, things, like, phenomena of nature by science, by things that you can reason. But this time, I couldn't figure out, I couldn't explain what happened, so I told him to age, and said, thank God, it was, like, confirming, like, how you're in the state. That I was settled, and I didn't ensure that God was with me in the right place. Okay, then, later in December, I still had a few questions, so I was looking for people also converted like me. And I decided to go to the monastery because I heard there was someone else who also converted, and Abuna Pahomio, and some other monks I heard about from New Jersey. So I went to Sandia, Texas, and I met some of the monks there. They were able to answer some more of the questions I had. And I met Abuna Daniel, and I heard his story also. And I saw how, like, also from my readings, who converted that some of the people who come back and go to the church, all their stories are very similar. Like the details are different, the structure is generally follows the same path. So on that note, I just want to say for other people who are searching the world for the Lord, I think just like you know how your friend, like if your friend is like feeling bad, feeling down, you kind of know without speaking that they're kind of feeling down. So in the same way that we can reach out, the more you're closer to Christ, you get closer to Him in His compassion, His love, and His kindness, you also are more perceptive in seeing people whose hearts have a hole, who are searching to fill the hole in their heart. These people that you're seeking, that you can feel, those are the people that you should really try to bring the love of the Lord to them. They're searching for something greater in this world. They might be trapped in various things, apathy, and that those are people we should search for. And God's love can happen for me, and it can happen to someone else. And it's up to us, including me, that we should try to spread the word of Christ to those who are especially seeking. But we should also trust that God is acting locally. That St. Paul says, I planted the Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So we just need to plant that seed. God will somehow move maybe 10, 15 years, maybe 5, 10 years, that someone will be moved for the Lord. And I trust in God because there are people in my family who are not so much, well, not Christian. And I know all the verses that say, unless you're born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But I always trust in God because I know that one day, maybe not today, maybe not now, but He'll move the hearts of those, especially those that I love the most, to enter His kingdom. It's God alone. And even if He doesn't, I'll always love the Lord because what He has done for us, for you and for each of us, that He has died for us already. That even if I don't see my lifetime, some of my family moving into the faith, finding Christ, I'll always see that God has loved each of us so much, and especially me, in His kindness and love that He's shown me. And that from before, I was used to try, like I was, I sometimes cry myself to sleep because I knew I was missing something. I was asking for God to come and find me. But now I know that love is kindness, that I pray that God has mercy on me and works with me, that God will always go on.